The New Testament lesson for us today comes to us from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 5 through 18, and I'm reading from Peterson's The Message. God didn't put angels in charge of this business of salvation that we're dealing with here. It says in the scripture, "What is man and woman that you bother with them? Why take a second look their way? You made them not quite as high as angels, bright with Eden's dawn light. Then you put them in charge of your entire handcrafted world. When God put them in charge of everything, nothing was excluded. But we don't see it yet. What we do see is Jesus, made not quite as high as the angels, and then through the experience of death, crowned so much higher than any angel with a glory bright with Eden's dawn light. In that death, by God's grace, he fully experienced death in every person's place." Makes good sense that the God who got everything started and keeps everything going now completes the work by making Jesus Christ perfect through suffering as he leads all these people to glory. Since the one who saves and those who are saved have a common origin, Jesus doesn't hesitate to treat them as family, saying, "I'll tell my good friends, my brothers and sisters, all I know about you. I'll join them in worship and praise to you." Again, he puts himself in the same family circle when he says, "Even I live by placing my trust in God, and yet again, I'm here with the children God gave me." Since the children are made of flesh and blood, it's logical that the Savior took on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by his death. By embracing death, taking it to himself, he destroyed the devil's hold on death and freed all who cower through life, scared to death of death. It's obvious, of course, that he didn't go to all this trouble for angels. It was for people like us. That's why he had to enter into every detail of human life. Then, when he came before God as high priest to get rid of the people's sins, he would have already experienced it all himself, all the pain, all the testing, and would be able to help where help was needed. The word of God for God's people this day. Thanks be to God. Today is Epiphany Sunday, the Christian day that marks the revelation of God, Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh as Jesus, God's physical presence with humanity. And in Western Christianity, we sing We Three Kings because Epiphany reminds us of the visit of the Magi, wise men, those noble pilgrims from the East who followed a miraculous guiding star to Bethlehem to pay their respect to the infant Jesus as King of the Jews and offer him gifts in their worship of the newborn king. Epiphany reminds us also that Jesus stands against the kingdoms of this world. From the moment Jesus was born, he was on the wrong side of society's power structures. And if you read much of the New Testament, he remained on the wrong side of the political and social and religious powers his whole life. Why? Because Jesus came to show us something so much more valuable. He came to show us grace and the joy of salvation and justice for all people. Reverend Jim Wallace tells the story of a worship service at a South African church during the days of apartheid. And during those days, the government sanctioned discrimination and oppression of black South African citizens. Nelson Mandela, a Christian political leader, spent decades in prison for advocating for the end of apartheid. Bishop Desmond Tutu planned to hold a political rally at St. George's Cathedral in Cape Town, but it had to be canceled. So, Bishop Tutu held a worship service instead. Hundreds of South African police officers gathered outside the cathedral to intimidate the worshipers, and then the officers began to come inside, lining the walls of the church and recording the service. Jim Wallace says he was afraid for his life, but if Bishop Tutu was afraid, he didn't show it. He stood up and he announced, "This system of apartheid cannot endure because it is evil." And he pointed at all the officers along the cathedral walls, and he said, "You are powerful. You are very powerful, but you are not gods. I serve a God who cannot be mocked. So since you've already lost, I invite you to come and join the winning side." And the congregation leapt to their feet in joy. They began dancing for joy at Bishop Tutu's words. And the surprised officers left the church because they didn't know what to do with this incredible expression of joy. The Herods of this world will never understand the courage and hope and joy that come from choosing the King of Peace. But what about us? You knew I was going to ask that, didn't you? How do we know which king we've chosen to honor? "So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him." In this season of angels, the writer of Hebrews proclaims that it's not with the angels that Christ is concerned, but with women and men. The writer of Hebrews writes these words, "It's obvious, of course, that Jesus didn't go to all this trouble for angels. It was for people like us. That's why Jesus had to enter into every detail of human life. Then when he came before God as high priest to get rid of the people's sins, he would have already experienced it all himself, all the pain, all the testing, and would be able to help where help was needed." Did Jesus have to become love incarnate and be made like his sisters and brothers so that he could understand us? Or so that we could understand him? Sometimes we wonder. "Do you know I'm alone, Jesus? Jesus, do you know exactly how I feel?" Jesus taught that God cares for the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, and that the hairs on our head are numbered in God's eyes. But how can we know God understands, that Jesus understands? Because of Emmanuel, Jesus became like us. He became like us that he might become merciful and faithful in the service of God. And he knows how we feel because he reaches out in grace with a healing touch. I think most of us know the song. We've been singing the song in worship since 1963. He touched me, was inspired by many gospel stories of Jesus' healing touch. After the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus came down from the mountain and he was approached by a leper who said, "Master, if you want to, you can heal my body." And Jesus stretched out his hand and he said, "I want to. Be clean." And immediately the man's leprosy was cleansed. And then there was the day that Jesus went to the city of Nain. Jesus and his disciples were with him. And as they approached the village gate, they met a funeral procession. A woman's only son was being carried out for burial. The mother was a widow. Her son was her only family. And when Jesus saw her, his heart broke. And he said to her, "Don't cry." And then Jesus walked over and touched the coffin. The pallbearer stopped. And then Jesus said, "Young man, I tell you, get up." And the dead son sat up and began talking, and Jesus presented him to his mother. And there was once a crowd of, there was in a crowd a woman who for 12 years had been inflicted with hemorrhages. She had spent every penny she had on doctors, but not one had been able to help her. And she slipped in from behind Jesus and she touched the hem of his robe. And at that very moment, her hemorrhaging stopped. And Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Jesus touched those who could not hear and could not speak. He touched those born blind and he touched the children and he blessed them. And when we study these Bible stories, we learn that touch or touched would more correctly be translated held or grasped. He held the man with leprosy and holding him said, "Be clean." He grasped the one who was blind. He grasped the one who was born without hearing and could not speak. He held the children and blessed him. The woman with a 12-year flow of blood grasped him, held Jesus, and he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." Jesus, I've been wondering, do you know how I feel? Yes. Yes, my child, for I have touched you, held you, and I will hold you again. Do we aimlessly wander about taking the hand of someone or something and allow ourselves to be led away from the one who loves us the most into harmful, even dangerous situations? Sometimes we think we walk hand in hand with Jesus until we are startled to realize we've not taken our lead from the Lord, but from another or the circumstances around us. Then, like Peter trying to walk on water, noticing the wind, he loses his faith and beginning to sink. Our voice cries out, "Lord, save me." But even when we feel that we have lost our faith and are sinking deep, Jesus still says, "I have held you before and I will hold you again." We hear his words as he pulls us back to safety. At the close of a year and at the beginning of another, it's not unusual to reflect back and feel that we have occasionally been led by a hand other than Jesus' hand down paths which he would not choose for us. So it is fitting to ask ourselves in the year to come, whose hand will I hold? As the celebration of Jesus' birth continues, we would also ask, what do you feel like, Jesus? What does it feel like to hold you? We want to touch Jesus, and we want to be in touch with Jesus. We want to hold and grasp the Son of the living God. In that time long ago, in the town of Jesus' birth, a few came to see the Christ child and bless him at his nativity. Shepherds, kings even, a few unnamed others. Did they, before they returned to their fields and flocks, before they returned to their distant country by another way, did they bend down and pick up the baby so that they could hold the Christ child? Did they lift him into their arms, or did they stoop to touch him? Imagine what a moment in a shepherd's life to hold in the arms the King of Glory. What a moment in your life and mine to embrace in our arms, to touch the newborn Jesus. A few years ago, a small church was hosting homeless families at Christmas time. It was nearly bedtime as the pastor wandered the hallway of the church in casual clothes, visiting with the resident guests and volunteer host, and he stopped at the church kitchen, which was often a gathering place, and found a dad drying his one-year-old son, softly patting him dry after a bath in the deep stainless steel kitchen sink. "Here, could you hold him for a minute?" he asked, handing the pastor the towel-wrapped boy. "I'll be right back. I need to go get his pajamas." And the pastor immediately noticed how precious were the baby's dark eyes and his little hands. The pastor held the baby boy closely and swayed gently with the little fella as the baby reached up and felt the rough whiskers on the pastor's late in the evening chin. And the pastor thought, "He smells just like my son. He smells just like God's own son." Did Jesus need to come into the world so that he could understand us? Or did Jesus come that we could understand the only begotten Son? Did Jesus come so that he could hold us, or did he come so that we could hold him? You see, Jesus was made like his brothers and sisters that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest, praying and interceding for us in heavenly communion between Jesus Christ and God the Father. If we hold Jesus closely, how would he feel? And would Jesus feel our love and devotion, our faithfulness and gentle care? Would he feel safe and secure in our arms, pleased to be with us, leading us beside the still waters and paths of righteousness for his name's sake? Lord, in these days, even in these times, how can we hold you in our love? May the one who loves us the most help us to receive well the others who are placed in our hands and in our lives. May the Christ child help us to value them with listening hearts to comfort and calm them along the journey. May it be in this new year as it was when Jesus said, "I was hungry and you fed and you fed me, naked and you clothed me, sick and imprisoned and you visited me, and you held me and you gripped me," Jesus would say. When we have done it to the very least of these, Jesus said, we have done it to him, the Christ child in Bethlehem's manger. Yes, we can know exactly how Jesus feels when we hold him, but still, sometimes we wonder. Sometimes the mountains look so big and our faith seems so small. Sometimes it feels as if we're wandering. I wonder as I wander out under the sky how Jesus, my Savior, did come to die for poor, ornery people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky. Hold me, Jesus. Hold us, Jesus. Be our King of glory. Be our Prince of Peace.